Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers, food lovers, and everyone in between. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 66. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher, the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Creative Food Photography, and the host of this podcast, of course, Eat, Capture, Share. It's also the name of my Instagram food photography challenge, which I'll tell you loads more about in a minute. I just wanted to say it's been so lovely to be back, and season 6, of course, started last week. I hope you enjoyed the episode with Cynthia. If you didn't tune in, be sure to check it out. It was so good. And today is another wonderful, wonderful episode. Now, before I tell you more about today and my guest, Ritu, I've got some news to share. Well, two bits of news, actually. So the very first one is that my Eat, Capture, Share Instagram food photography challenge is now open for registration. I love hosting the challenge. Like, I love it. And for me, as a creative, it's always about reinventing the wheel kind of thing. Like, I cannot come back with a challenge in the exact same format like I did it last season. I just can't. So it's had a little bit of a facelift. There's some new twists and turns, some new additions, some new things. I'm just dying to tell you more about it, but of course I won't. You gotta join the mailing list specifically for the challenge to find out more, to join, and it's just gonna be wonderful. I know it's gonna be amazing. I know you're gonna love it. To sign up, be sure to head to the show notes. There will be a redirect there to more information about the challenge, how and where you sign up, the whole shebang. Now, if you're listening to this in the future and the challenge registration period has closed, it's ended, please still follow the link in the show notes because you'll be able to sign up for the next one, which takes place in early 2022. Now, as if that weren't enough, I also opened registration to my signature e-course. Just like the challenge, there is no way I can come back with the e-course in the exact same format as I did it earlier this year. So I've listened to student feedback and just given the course another little boost, another little lift. There is more feedback and one-to-one time with me built in because that's something that students kept requesting. So I've listened. And if you want to study with me, if you want to learn from me in a really intimate setting, if you want me to see your work and give you pointers and help you identify your strengths, help you identify your style, your visual voice, then please join us this season. Just like the challenge, there's going to be a link in the show notes where you can find out more. I know investing in yourself can feel really scary. And what's really important to me is that you make an informed decision, that you join maybe a little scared, but even more excited. And the only way many of you can do that is by chatting with me first and having a discovery call. And frankly, if the course isn't right for you, or if this is not the right time, I would let you know. Because the last thing I want is for you to join a course that doesn't fit your needs, doesn't meet your requirements. So rest assured, I would point you in a different direction if need be. And if it is right for you, then you've got all the information to make a decision you can feel good about. Now, I know there are lots of resources, including this podcast, that offer free advice, inside tips, lots of YouTube channels, lots of things, stuff on Instagram, behind the scenes. What makes joining this course worthwhile? I would say there's something magical about coming together with committed creatives and coming together with a teacher who's a couple of steps ahead of you to really push you and allow you to grow and develop much, much quicker and reach your goal much, much quicker than if you were to grab little bits and pieces that are free on the internet or here. It is a chance for you to have a creative breakthrough. No one does the course without having a breakthrough. And though a lot of people go on to shoot their cookbooks and make lots of money running their own courses and classes and taking on paid work, what have you, there's also just the beauty of delving into your creativity. And that alone is so, so special. So yes, be sure to head to the show notes. And again, if you're listening to this in the future and the registration period has closed, do not worry, just head to the show notes again and you'll be redirected to the waiting list for the next course, which starts sometime in 2022. Anyways, enough announcements, enough chit chat. I would love to tell you a little bit more about today's podcast guest. Ritu Mbara is a visual storyteller, an incredibly talented food photographer, a wonderful human being. And in fact, I encountered Ritu's work through the Eat, Capture, Share Instagram food photography challenge. She entered with a bang. It's impossible not to notice her work. It's impossible not to fall in love with her work, her visual sensitivity, her ability to capture her subject, both human and of course food as well, with such beauty and thoughtfulness. She's won multiple challenges. She has also been crowned creative of the season during one of the Eat, Capture, Share food photography challenges. She's won a Pink Lady food photography award. She's been on magazines, or better, her work has been on magazines. I was so enamored with Ritu's work, I asked her to contribute a photo of hers to my book, Creative Food Photography. Ritu is special. Ritu has got a gift and she's sharing so much knowledge with you today in this episode. I hope you feel inspired. I hope you feel as inspired as I did in my chat with Ritu. So as always, sit back, relax, grab a cup of tea, maybe a biscuit or so, and enjoy. Ritu, I am so happy that we're able to connect today after what was a kind of tumultuous attempt a couple of weeks ago. I know you well. I feel I know you well through your work and our, you know, DM chats on Instagram. But for anybody who's tuning in who doesn't know you, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself?
Oh, absolutely, Kim. You know, even before introducing myself, I would love to add this, you know, Eat, Capture, Share, both in terms of the podcast and the challenge, has been serving as such an inspiration, or even to say it has been serving as a meaningful direction to a lot of creatives out here. I've seen it personally, and I would love to thank you on behalf of our food photography community, Kim. Thank you so much for who you are and what you do. And also, thank you so much for having me over today. I feel truly honored and extremely humbled.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Do you want to share who you are and what you do, where you're based? Because we can hear lots of animals in the background. It's super exciting. So please do share.
Oh, yes. I'm Ritu Mbara Chinnabalan. I'm a visual storyteller, food photographer, stylist, and educator based in India. I'm also a food photography mentor, offering one-on-one sessions to striving creatives, you know, interacting with my mentees and helping them find their voice as a food photographer is when I feel most alive, I must say. I recently bagged the Pink Lady Food Photography Awards alongside being cover featured on Better Photography, one of South Asia's leading photography magazines. Yeah, that's a little about myself.
Amazing. Such incredible achievements. And I can just imagine how giving and warm you are towards your mentoree. So that's a really wonderful opportunity.
I feel truly humbled to hear that.
Ritu, I would love to know, you live in India, you live in a very rural part of India, as far as I know. And
yes,
how did you find your way to food photography? Of all things that you could have gotten into, how did that
I love this question, Kim, because it feels beautiful to run down the lane to answer this, actually. You know, speaking of how food photography happened to me, if I could sum it up in a sentence, I could say it happened as a happy accident to me, just like for a lot of creatives out here. But I would love to take this a bit earlier, actually a lot earlier, to say, you know, growing up as a kid, I've always had the zeal to find that one field that speaks to my heart and excel in it. You know, back in school, I was a mischievous kid. Math and science did not fascinate me for obvious reasons, but sports did. You know, I would think, oh, someday growing up, I would become a sports person. But no, that did not happen. And then I was trained in Carnatic music. I would again think, oh, I would become a musician. I am a good singer, but I did not take it up as my field. Maybe something in it did not strike the chords for me. And 3 years back, when I started my page on Instagram, just for it to serve as a medium to share my recipes, I did not think I would become a food photographer. Mm-hmm. I did not think food photography would speak to my heart like it does today. And I did not think I would use food photography, this beautiful art form, to express my feelings, to transcend the aura of my life, and to showcase of who I am deep down as a person. So I would say what happened as a happy accident is because of that yearning and zeal in my life that has brought me here to doing what I do today. Yeah.
Amazing. Such a beautiful way of expressing how you feel about food photography. But I think describing your work, quote unquote, just as food photography isn't really accurate. For me, it feels like there's food, there's photography, but there's also so much of your culture and so much of you, as you say, woven into your work. And I'd love to know how you bring all those elements together.
I love how you said that, Kim. My surroundings and culture have a great influence in my work, great influence. But instead of putting it this way, I would say I consciously let my surroundings and culture influence my work, because there's a difference between the both, right? It is that I wholeheartedly let my surroundings and culture influence my work because I love and indulge in both of them. You know, speaking of my place, I live in a beautiful town in the South Indian state of Tamil Nadu, a town nestling beside the Western Ghats. It might not be a typical village. It's a good town, but again, it is not a bustling city. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you can slow down and catch your breath. So speaking of letting my surroundings influence my work, for instance, let's take it this way, Kim. You know, the places we live in are completely different from each other, right? And I feel what makes you, you, and what makes me, me, is where we come from, what we eat, our practices, our culture, and beliefs. You know, this diversity is beautiful, and this diversity is exactly what makes us. For example, the colors that take up my living space, the colors that take up my town, the color of terrain in my place is completely different from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I also have to speak of my people here. Kim, you know, I love Indian villages and my people from villages for a few reasons. Number one is they are beautiful without doubt. Mm. They are hardworking, they are honest, and they are humble. So I try to incorporate all these emotions in my work as well. And speaking of letting my culture influence my work, it's again because I indulge in it. You know, our culture is very rich. I love how our ancestors lived such great and holistic lives, and our practices are exactly like so. For example, if you remember, there was an image I created for Eat, Capture, Share depicting an Indian practice where the theme was rice, I guess. Yep. So the practice goes this way. You know, we draw rangolis using rice flour in front of our homes every day morning, just so that the flour serves as food for ants passing by. Isn't that such a meaningful practice? Yeah. And I showcased this practice for the challenge because it was coincidentally related to food as well. So yes, I let my surroundings and culture influence my work because I indulge in both of them.
Yeah, I find that so interesting because, you know, a lot of the times students will come to me and say, I want to have my own look and my own style and my signature look. And how can I do that? How can I do that? But I think, you know, what you're sharing now is that by really tapping into who you are, where you come from,
absolutely,
your surroundings, all those things, because they're so unique to you, all those elements are so unique to you, will create unique images. I mean, what do you think is stopping some creatives from sharing images that are authentic to them, sharing really unique images? You definitely share very unique images. Like, I see you a photo on Instagram as I'm scrolling. I don't even have to look at the name. I know it's you. So yet so many people struggle with that. Do you have any other advice? Is there anything that you're seeing that creatives are doing that's stopping them from really connecting to their authentic creative selves?
First off, thank you so much for that, Kim. You know, my number one advice would be to not get carried away by what everyone else is creating around them. You know, to not get carried away by the food and food photography trends that go around them. Because in this social media era, especially being on the gram, one might get easily carried away and one might want to shoot exactly what someone else is shooting. And one might want to compose images just the way someone else does. Mm. So in this case, what would help is self-control. We must practice some self-control. And here are a few things that I could tell that would help create authentic work. And I think it's also really essential to create authentic work, both in terms of the food we shoot and the food photographs we create. Yeah. You know, to maintain authenticity in terms of the food, there are a few questions creatives could ask themselves. For example, is my food authentic to myself? Does it speak of who I am as a person? Are the dishes I photograph part of my life? Would I encourage my audience to consume the food I photograph? You know, these are quite deep questions and they would really help a creative maintain authenticity in terms of food. And to create authentic photographs, there are again few things I would tell. You know, number one and most important is finding our food photography style is really essential. And one beautiful way to craft our food photography style would be by injecting our personality into our food photos. For example, as we know, there are two popular food photography genres called dark and moody and bright and airy, right? Here, instead of sticking to either of these styles, just because we see a lot of images on both these styles over Instagram or Pinterest, maybe we tend to like one over the other. I would urge creatives to connect their personality with these genres so that they find which one really is their style. For example, there are a few questions they could ask themselves again. For example, what kind of living spaces have me thrilled as a person? Would I love spending time in a dark and cozy space, or would it be spending some time in a fresh and brightly lit space? What kind of restaurants do I love dining in? What kind of movies do I love watching? You know, asking these questions would help us understand who we are deep down as a person, and in turn will help inject our personality into our food photos. Another fun way to create authentic photographs would be by injecting colors from our personal life into our food photos. You know, again, as I said, the colors that speaks to your heart, the color that take up your space, etc. And another way to create authentic work would be through understanding our prop style. You know, I would say understanding one's unique prop style is as important as to finding one's food photography style. You know, even while buying props, I acquire only the ones that speak of who I am as a person. You know, owning a set of unique props and using them over and over again on a timely basis would also help us create an unique prop style. These are some ways through which one can create authentic work, and also injecting our emotions into our food photos can be one of the most heartwarming ways to create authentic work, Kim, because, you know, no two individuals are same in this world. And one's emotions are always going to be true to himself or herself. So, yeah, I would say injecting your emotions into food photos would be one of the most heartwarming ways to create authentic work.
Me too. I love that. And what I really love is that there's a lot of tangible and practical tips there that people can really draw on. It's so interesting because, you know, as you know, because you contributed to my book, I have a chapter on that. And, you know, I've noticed that what it really takes is a lot of self-reflection and a lot of tuning inward, you know, to find the answers to those questions that you pose or that you suggest. And also it takes time. And a lot of the times we're used to the things coming to us quickly. You know, we want a meal, we just pick up the phone and we order delivery and we want to be entertained. We pick up our phone and, you know, go onto YouTube. And these questions, they take time to unravel. But thank you so much. I think there's a lot there that, you know, people can walk away from this episode.
Thank you.
Your images are full of story. So it is not, you know, as you were saying, it's not just a bowl of rice that you're putting in. There's always an underlying story and so many layers in your images. How do you achieve that? How do you manage to say so much with just a single frame? Any tips again that you can share with anyone who's still struggling on that front?
Are you new to food photography and food styling and eager to kickstart your learning process? Have you been taking food photos for some time, but find that you just can't get the images you want? Or are you a longtime food blogger who has plateaued, and are you eager to step up your game? Then listen up, because my e-course may be for you. Creatives who have studied with me have gone on to take on more paying clients. They've gained knowledge to run their own food photography workshops. They have grown in confidence when taking and sharing photos for Instagram or for their portfolio. They've increased their Instagram audience, shot their cookbooks, taken on more sponsored content opportunities, and lots, lots more. But please, don't take my word for it. Here are a few students sharing their experience of the course.
So Kimberly, I wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the course. I loved it so much. And I actually got a lot of work right after your course. I got to shoot an editorial. Then I got another editorial right after that. And then when I got really clear about what brands I wanted to work with, a salad dressing company saw my images on Instagram and they reached out to me and they said, we want to hire you. And I'm like, wow, this is all because I took your course and I felt more confident.
I know you sent that in the email for feedback, but is there any other places where I can rave about you?
Sweet.
If you're curious to see what's possible for you this season, please head to the show notes to find out more. And now, back to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I love this question, Kim. I think I'm going to be telling this all through the podcast because this is such a deep aspect and something so close to my heart. You know, I feel a food photograph, or be it any photograph in general, is lifeless without having a story to reveal. Also, let's take it this way. You know, a food or a dish might be common between us. For example, you could make a vegetable soup and I could make a vegetable soup as well. But what will set your image apart from my soup image would be that food story revolving around that soup. You know, the way you would make and serve the soup would be completely different from how I would do it. So I feel showcasing our unique food stories that's again close to our hearts is another way to create authentic work. You know, during pre-planning my shots, pre-planning is one of my favorite parts of the creative process. And one of the first things I jot down while conceptualizing an image is, what is that story or emotion I want to convey through the image? For example, let's take, you ask me to compose an image using veg soap. You know, the first thing that pops to my mind right now is veg soup tastes better than chicken soup. And I would probably try to convey that every life form deserves to live through this image. You know, I would probably shoot an image showcasing one of my hens alongside the soup to depict that storyline. So here, my story is unique to myself. And this storyline might not pop to another creative when asked to photograph veg soup. They might have a completely different and unique story, authentic to themselves. So here's when I tell, showcasing one's unique food stories is another heartwarming way to create authentic work.
Can I ask you, because I'm also, you know this from my book, because I know you have it, and I'm also very, very big on planning. And I was wondering, you know, let's continue with that veg soup analogy. So for you to craft and create that shot, how much planning is involved in the process? Like, how much do you do before you pick up the camera? Is it like an hour? Is it 10 minutes? Is it different every time? Like, how does that work for you?
Kim, you'd be surprised to know sometimes it takes me 4 to 5 days for pre-planning.
No, I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
Yeah, it depends. You know, some days ideas pop in like in minutes and hours, but then on some days it takes like 3 to 4 days for pre-planning. You know, for me to conceptualize, okay, what is that? The first thing I do is I jot down what is that story I want to convey through the image. So probably I would jot down the storyline, and then what is that emotion that has to be transcended to my audience? Would it be happiness? Would it be joy? Would it be sorrow? Or should it have a social message? So that would be the next thing. And then I would start from there and take it. What are the colors that has to be used to transcend that emotion? What are the props that have to be used? So as I said, sometimes it comes in together in a couple of minutes, but there are days when I've taken 4 to 5 days together for pre-planning.
Okay. And so my next question is, if you take that amount of time, and it's so interesting because one of my previous guests, Betty, she also plans a lot and takes a lot of time to kind of get her image just the way she wants. But then my question to you is, with Instagram, where the expectation really is that you post every day, twice a day, if possible, three times if you can, five reels and what have you, how do you manage the content creation pressure with your desire to create work that you're truly proud of? Like, how do you manage those two things?
Actually, to say, I no longer bother about what Gram expects from me these days, Kim. You know, that was there in my initial days when I started my journey. I would think, okay, I have to post like 2 to 3 times a week or even every day. But then as I came along, I've come to know that it is my inner satisfaction that is more important to me as a creative than what social platforms expect of me. So these days, I don't bother about the gram much, and I allow myself time to create what my heart wants to and what I want to do with my camera.
And then if you, and I don't know if you look at those things, but if you then see that you're losing followers or you're not growing to whatever, 100,000 followers or whatever it is, how do you manage that element of it, of, you know, the numbers game, and or does it not matter because what's important to you is the creation process and the joy in that? And
absolutely, absolutely. You know, in the initial days, the number game took a toll on me. I did get into that comparison trap where people were growing fast, and maybe I wasn't. I am such a slow grower on the gram. But when I started concentrating on the quality of my work and greater things I wanted to achieve in this journey, you know, the number game backed up. It became secondary for me. And these days, as I said earlier, I don't care about it much, Kim, you know, because I want to achieve a lot of other things than it. And I think I am on that journey to say humbly.
Now, speaking of journey, where do you see your work going? And we'll come back, we'll circle back to Instagram in a moment, but if you don't see creating for Instagram as your primary purpose as a creative, where do you see your work going? What direction do you want to go? And what are your kind of creative goals?
You know, I think more than just food photography, I want my work to impact this world in a beautiful way. You know, if you'd seen, a lot of images would have a social message. So I think my work would go that way. And also, I would want to make my country proud in the field that I am in, taking it to the international arena. I don't know if I would be doing it, but yeah, I want to make my country proud, and I want my work to impact the world in a beautiful way. So I would try to achieve that and take my journey on from there.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Now, I would like to come back to Instagram because, as far as I know, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Instagram was the first place where you publicly shared your food photography work. And so I would like to know how Instagram has influenced you as a creative and your food photography journey.
Actually, Instagram has played the sole role in my food photography journey, Kim. I would say it that way. Because it's not that I was doing commercials for so and so years and then I started this page. No. I started this page, and then is when I started experimenting with food photography. So Instagram has seen me struggle, it has seen me grow, and it has played a major role in my food photography journey. And more than just saying it as the platform, you know, the beautiful community we have and the inspiration and love creatives have showered on me day in and out has brought me so far, I would say.
Amazing. Now, you mentioned this at the very start. You have participated in the Eat, Capture, Share challenge, and as we're recording this and as this airs, we're entering a new season of the challenge. And I'd love to know, and you've won the challenge a couple of times too, and being creative of this season. So I'd love to know how the Eat, Capture, Share challenge has impacted your work. And for anybody who's listening, who's never participated, what can you share about your experience of taking part?
You know, this is my most favorite question, I would say. You know, Eat, Capture, Share has played a major role in my food photography journey, and even to say it has played an important role in shaping my creative journey. You know, I've participated twice, and I want to speak about the second season in particular, and I think it was around October last year, where you had brought together the challenge with a beautiful motive behind. You know, we creatives had to pay a small amount if we wanted to enter the challenge. And this amount went towards Stephen Lawrence Trust, if I'm right, in support of the BLM movement. You know, Kim, I paid the amount not for it to serve as an entry ticket to the challenge, but I paid because I truly believed in that cause and what you did. So now, if I believed in that cause, I did not want to treat that season just as a challenge. I wanted each of my image to be created in support of the cause. I put all my heart into creating each of those images. You know, there was a lot of hard work and research that went behind. And on several days, I would literally cry while creating those images.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, you know, all of that comes to my mind in a flash and makes me feel rather emotional now. You know, I cannot thank you enough for having designed that season and every season for that matter, because I know Eat, Capture, Share has played an important role in a lot of creatives' journey, just like mine.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. And I didn't know that. I definitely don't want anybody taking part to be moved to tears. It's there for joy, but you're right. It was some, you know, we were
no, I, it was diving. Because... It was because it was joy. There was so much joy that made me cry.
I understand what you mean. I understand what you mean. I just don't want anybody listening and thinking like, oh my God, Kimberly's going to make me cry. Hopefully not. Now, I would love to know if you're not, from what you said before, you try not to just look at what other people are doing and instead look around you in your surroundings, anything or any other places where you're drawing inspiration, or is it mainly your surroundings and your environment?
Yeah, main thing, one of the major thing would be my surroundings and culture. Yeah, the colors that take my space, you know, the flora and fauna that take up my space, the culture and practices, the mundane things, you know, that take up my daily life, that plays an important role in the inspiration process. So yeah, that is what I would say, Kim. And other places would be, you know, everywhere, wherever you visit, I would say having our eyes open to get inspired is very important. It could be the restaurants you visit. It could be the theaters you go to watch movies. It could be a park, anywhere, or a museum. You know, having our eyes open to details is really important. And also gaining inspiration from things apart from food photography. Apart from food photography, what I mean is it could be wildlife photography. It could be portraiture. You know, finding inspiration in all those things that speak to your heart is really important. And putting all those together, bringing all those together into your food photos is really important.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned portrait, because you do a lot of photography with humans as part of your imagery. And
I love that.
And you're so good at it. It's so powerful and so strong, because I guess food really comes alive when we're interacting with it, right? And you
absolutely,
that's essential. Now, Ritu, I know you also have a challenge. I don't know if it's still ongoing. If you can share a little bit about that and kind of what it entails.
Yeah. So I run seasonal and monthly food photography challenges under the hashtag Food Photo Bites with Ritu. We've had 2 to 3 seasons until now, and then it goes on every month with unique themes. And I also have incredible guest judges alongside me who will be judging the challenges alongside me. And we also have amazing prizes every month. So it is something I would totally urge anyone tuning in to participate, because creatives have felt they take away so much from the challenges. They learn a lot from the challenge. So yeah, I would urge anyone tuning in to participate in the challenges.
Amazing. Well, what I'll do is I'll pop the details for, obviously, for your Instagram and also the challenge in the show notes. Ritu, before we bring the interview to a close, I always end the podcast by asking my guest what their most favorite thing to eat, what their most favorite thing to capture, and what their most favorite thing to share is. And I'd love to know your answers to these questions as well.
Okay, so my favorite thing to eat would be biryani. You know, biryani is my favorite food. It's a rice dish, and I can have it all day long. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner, give me biryani, and I'll be happy.
Amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, so that's my favorite thing to eat. And the second thing was to capture, right? Yeah, so it would not be one thing, but I love capturing human element alongside food in my images, because I feel it brings out the emotions in my food photos. Yeah, so I love capturing human element. And to share, you know, there's this quote by Albert Einstein that I really love. The quote goes this way: if at first the idea is not absurd, then there is no hope for it. How deep is that? So for anyone tuning in, I would say, try giving life to your absurd ideas and you'll be amazed.
Amazing. Ritu, that's so cool. Now, I know there'll be people tuning in who want to connect with you and find you. Please let us know where they can do that.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Happy Dummy by Ritambra. You can also check my work at my website, ritambrachinabalan.com. You can DM or write to me at contact@ritambrachinabalan.com if you'd like taking up a course with me as well. So yeah, please DM me if you tuned in, because I would love hearing from you.
Amazing. Ritu, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, and really enjoyed our chat today.
Thank you so much for having me over, Kim. It was my honor.
Ritu is a total gem. And as a human being, as a mensch, but also as a creative, following her on Instagram, I love it. Like every time I log in and I see her work, it just makes me smile. It makes me really, really happy. So I can honestly recommend that you give her a follow. And as she mentioned in this episode, do stop by and say hi. Tell her you listened in. I know guests love when that happens. And I know so many of you are so good about it. I want to thank you. Also want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has been sharing the podcast and their Instagram stories. Even during my hiatus, reshares have been popping up in my Instagram DM. And honestly, even if I don't reshare them immediately, they totally make my day. And I save them on my phone. And then when I can, I reshare them because they're so precious to me. So thank you. Now, before I let you go and let you go and enjoy your day, just wanted to remind you both about registration opening for the Eat, Capture, Share Instagram Food Photography Challenge. It is totally free, so do sign up. And of course, registration has opened as well for my signature e-course. If you want to find out more about that too, head to the show notes. You can find links to read to everything and anything we mentioned, of course the course, the challenge, all the things, so be sure to check it out. Right, I'll be back with a new episode next week, probably all being well, should be in your podcast feed on Monday. So I'll speak to you then. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. You'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care.